Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad that you're here. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to start our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for longer than any of us have been around. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I'm pretty sure the reason Christians have been saying this for so long is because we want to be aware of the Lord's presence with us. We believe that our Lord, Jesus Christ, isn't just some great historical figure that we learn from. He's not just somebody that we want to pattern our lives after, that we read about in a book, but we believe that God raised him from death, that he didn't just die on the cross for our sins, but he's alive today and present here with us when we gather to worship him. And so when we say that, the Lord be with you and also with you, it's like, hey, we want you to be aware of the Lord's presence, the presence of our risen Lord Jesus Christ with us here today. Let me pray for us. Is that okay? God, please make us aware of your presence here with us today. We want to not just sing to you, we want to interact with you. We want to hear your voice whispering to us. We want to feel your spirit nudging us as we sing, as we read your scriptures, as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. We want to be aware that the God who loves us, that our Lord Jesus who died and rose again for us, that the Spirit of God is present here with us. We want to know your presence with us today. Thank you, God, for getting us to this place. Through whatever we've gone through this week, you've got us here now to meet with you. So please guide us as we worship you this next hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you're able, if you're interested, let's stand.
Well, as we prepare for Thanksgiving this week, let's not forget to give thanks to our Creator, from whom all blessings flow, who gave us Jesus to save us from ourselves and love us in spite of our sin.
Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for all the many blessings you have poured out upon us. We are grateful to you, God. We don't want to be those who forget where these blessings come from, or who think we've just earned these for ourselves. But God, we recognize that all these blessings are gifts from you. God, we give you thanks. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that when you saw us stuck in our sin and the mess that we'd made of our lives, that you didn't push us away, you didn't condemn us, but you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin on himself. By his death and resurrection, break the power of sin and death so that today we can be free. So that today when we confess to you, when we just admit it, that we need your help, God, you've promised to wash us and make us clean, to forgive our sins, to embrace us as your long-lost sons and daughters, to welcome us home. Thank you, God. Thank you. You are faithful. You are full of grace, full of love. Thank you, God, for those who have put words and music to these things, to turn these praises into song to you, God. That now we get to sing these songs decades later. Thank you, God. Thank you for the many blessings you have showered upon us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And so with you.
Thanks. Let's extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Introduce yourself to somebody. Wish them a happy Sunday. Hey, everybody. Everybody get one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, I hope. Let you know what's going on around here. Inside, of course, is that little green welcome card. We'd love to have you fill that out. And just drop it in the offering box. There's a little box right by the door before you go out of the sanctuary here that you can drop your welcome card in. If you've got an offering you're wanting to make, we don't pass plates or anything. So if you have a gift you want to make, or if you want to jot a note, maybe some way we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, since it is Thanksgiving this week. If there's something that you're thanking God for that you want to share with the rest of your church family, we'd be happy to put it in the back of next week's bulletin. If you want to keep it private, you can mark that, and I'll give thanks with you, but the rest of the church won't see it. But again, just make sure it makes it into the offering box back there. Speaking of Thanksgiving, giving thanks, we've had this up on the wall for a little bit now over here in the corner. where a few weeks ago we talked about giving thanks and what are we thanking God for, and you guys wrote things on sticky notes and put it on the wall. We're only going to leave this up for another Sunday or two, all right? I guess maybe we'll leave it up next Sunday since it's the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, and then it's coming down. So if you have something else you want to add to that wall, something you're thanking God for, maybe you weren't here the Sunday we did it and you'd like to add something, at the end of the service, after we celebrate communion, feel free to make your way over there. There's markers. There are sticky notes. You can add to that wall before it comes down in a couple of weeks. let's see. A couple things that are in here. If you haven't sent a birthday card yet to Ruth Overton, you might want to do that. Her address is in there. We want to make sure she knows she's loved at her birthday time. The ladies' coffee group is meeting this Thursday. They had to bump it due to some scheduling things. And Ina actually having a medical procedure on Thursday, so this last Thursday. And yes, I am married to a big shot. It is really cool to see Stacy's picture in the paper. It was a lot of fun. Most of you guys know we went to D.C. this last week for a couple of days. Stacy was one of, it looks like, 8 Indiana school superintendents. Not nearly that many. Indiana had a whole lot more than others because apparently our state is really doing well in this whole technology and education thing. But yeah, she didn't get to shake his hand, but she did get to sit like, well, closer to the president than she was closer than any of you are to me right now, I think. So in that room with, 50, 100 people, school superintendents, got some great pictures of the president talking from his little podium with the little seal and all that kind of stuff. Swiped some napkins with the presidential seal on them. there weren't a whole lot of other things she could take, but, you know. Anyway, so that was all kinds of fun. And thank you to those who prayed for us to have a safe trip there and back. It was uneventful as far as the travel went, and all kinds of fun getting to be in our nation's capital and for Stacy to get to participate in that. So that was good. All right. I've got a couple different thoughts in my head today as far as the message goes, but I'm going to try to stick to the notes, at least at first, that you've got in there. it starts right off from Psalm 95. It's just what we've been doing right up until now. It says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land, too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care." The scriptures in our notes today are scriptures that Christians around the world are looking at, that follows the lectionary. So lots of Christians and lots of churches around the world today are looking at these same scriptures. There are kind of two different themes that you'll see that play out. This is Christ the King Sunday, which, if you didn't know, there is such a Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, where we celebrate the fact that Christ is King. But then there's a theme through all of these, just about all of these scriptures, of God being our shepherd, which that psalm just ended with there. You know, for we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. Not a flock of seagulls, it's a flock of sheep. He's talking about using that shepherding imagery again to talk about how God cares for his people. And because he cares for us, because he watches over us, because of all the many blessings that we've just been singing about and praying about, we worship him, we give him thanks. Let's bow our heads for just a moment before I go any further, and let's just thank God for this. God, thank you. We do worship you. We do kneel before you, in our hearts at least. We kneel before you and recognize you as God, you as King. You are over all. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to worship you today. And thank you for these scriptures that have been handed down to us generation after generation. God, thank you for the ways that your Spirit has spoken to your people through these words, through these scriptures, for as long as they've been around. So, God, please speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last few weeks, you know, we've been just looking at how good God has been to us. You know, instead of it being, I didn't want to stand up here and be challenging you to, you know, go out there and do something different. I just wanted us to kind of soak in the reality of God's love and God's grace and how good he has been. And this week is no different. But it does take a little bit different flavor, I think, of the good things that we have to thank God for. The way he watches over us, the way he cares for us. The next scripture is from Ezekiel 34. It's one of the prophets that God sent to his people in the Old Testament. You know, from time to time, God needed to send messengers, needed to communicate a message to his people, and so he would send a prophet. And Ezekiel had some good things to say and some really hard things to say, and some of them come together right here in Ezekiel chapter 34. He says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak." I love that verse, that those things that God does for us. He says, you know, those who have strayed away, I will search for them. I will bring them safely home again. I'll bandage the injured. I will strengthen the weak. But, he says, I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. It's kind of a kind of interesting imagery then. Sure, I'll feed them. I'll feed them justice. You know, dun, dun, dun. I don't know what's supposed to go right there. And I've got to say, when I read that he's going to destroy those who are fat and powerful, I think, whew, I got to get back to the why. I don't want to fall into that category, the fat. And okay, that's not what he's saying. again, he's using this imagery of sheep, which he continues and he explains here just a few verses later. He says, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. So I'll rescue my flock and they'll no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now, just so you know, this prophet is speaking long after David was king. You know, David was one of the great kings of Israel. Saul was first, and then David, and then his son Solomon. And David was the hero. You know, he slew Goliath. He defeated Goliath. He rose to prominence. He helped the nation kind of coalesce. When Saul was king, it was still a little bit tribal, and there was still a little bit, some authority issues. But when David became king, the people loved him, and the kingdom kind of came together. And so David was always the one they looked back to as like he was the great king, anointed by God, doing God's work, leading us in a good direction. And so the prophets would look to the future, and God would speak through the prophets and say, I'll set up David as king again. Or, meaning like David's family, David's line, that a king like David will rule once again. And of course, now today we look back at these prophecies through the lens of Jesus. Jesus showing up on the scene, who's descended from David, the son of David, who's hailed as such by the people, by his followers, and by all the people of Israel as, the son of David, the one who's come. But this imagery of, I love this imagery of God as shepherd for the sheep. First for what God does for us as sheep. You know, we've been talking about how God is, we experience this new Genesis or a new Exodus, freedom from slavery and all those kinds of things. But here's a different image. Here is the image of a flock of sheep, and some of the sheep have been abusive to others. You know, some of the sheep were struggling. They were weak. They were scrawny. Maybe they were sick. And instead of the other sheep kind of coming along and saying, hey, come on, we can do this, keep up. Some of the sheep were stronger, and they butted them out of the way. Like, no, I'm eating that food. You go over there. And you can kind of picture this, right? If any of you have pets, maybe you've seen this happen among your pets. Hopefully not. Our dogs each get their own little dish, But every now and then, the one dog will finish first, and will go over and say, oh, I'll help you finish that, and try to eat the food from the other dog. No, that's her food. This is your food. You're done already. It's okay. And so there's this image of these sheep where the sheep weren't caring for each other. They were, the strong ones were just butting the weak ones out of the way, and shoving the sick ones off. And of course, he's using this image for the people, that they weren't caring for each other, that some of the sheep were abused, some of the people were abused. And God says, if you've strayed away, I'll find you. I'll search for you. I'll find you. If you've been cast aside, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't lost track of you. I'll find you. I'll bring you back. I'll bandage the injured. I'll strengthen the weak. God is not a survival of the fittest kind of God, where just says, you couldn't cut it, too bad. No, God looks for those who are injured, looks for those who are weak, looks for those who need help and helps them, looks for the lost and brings them home. I didn't really think about this till just now, looking out at you, and I know that some of you have had some rough experiences with Christians in the past, you know, and maybe you felt like you got shoved to the side by the rest of the flock, you know, by other church folk who said, oh, no, you don't fit here. Or, oh, no, I'm not sure, you know, and you got snubbed or you got hurt or you were injured by people, you know, hopefully not physically, but, you know, emotionally wounded by the ways you were treated. And God says, I'm not good with that. If you've been cast aside, if you've been injured, if you've been wounded by the church, by life, God cares. And this is an image of God's caring for us, taking care of us, not letting us just wander off to die alone somewhere. But he gathers us together. He brings us back home. I love that image of God caring for his people, a shepherd caring for his sheep. Because sometimes in life we feel wounded. Sometimes in life we feel weak. Sometimes in life we feel like we have, like those who are stronger and more powerful have pushed us aside. And God says, hey, I've got you. I'm not going to let you get away. Don't worry. I'm not going to let you be lost. So he will rescue his flock. He said they'll no longer be abused. Which goes back then to the image of the fat sheep, the powerful sheep, the strong ones, where God says, don't worry, I'll take care of them. You don't have to take care of them. You don't have to try to get your revenge. He says, I'll feed those sheep too. I'll feed them justice. He says, I'll take care of them. I'll be the judge. I'll make sure that you've got a good ruler. I'll make sure that you've got, you know, all the care that you need. It's this wonderful imagery of God caring for us. And this is one of the things we give thanks for, I think. You know, it's not, we don't just thank him for saving us from our sins, for rescuing us, for giving us new life. We thank him for the daily care that he gives to us. We thank him for the ways that he shepherds us through life, the ways that he guides us and gives us wisdom and helps us. Hopefully that's one of the things as you gather together this week with loved ones or friends or whoever you gather with for Thanksgiving. Hopefully that's one of the things that you remember to thank God for. Not just the big stuff, but the daily stuff, the day-to-day care that he gives to us. You are never lost to God. You are never far from God's thoughts, never out of his sight. You know, God cares for you, watches over you. So if we flip the page and we get to some New Testament scriptures, there's another scripture that I'm not sure who picked all these verses and put these all together. It's handed down to us from a while back, but the New Testament scripture we're given is from Matthew chapter 25, and we do get some of the imagery of Christ as king here, and also some of the imagery of the sheep and the goats and the God judging between one and another, just like Ezekiel talked about. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the Son of Man is a reference to Jesus himself, you know, Son of God, Son of Man, this is him. He says, when I come in my glory, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Sheep, goats. Sorry, guys, you picked the wrong side to sit on today. So he's gonna separate the people. He says, sheep on the one hand, goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. This is the king speaking to the people, saying, thank you, because you cared for me, because you took care of me in my time of need. Come and inherit the kingdom. You are blessed. You are welcome. Of course, they were confused. It says the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." He says, when you cared for the lowly, when you cared for those sheep that others were butting aside, when you went to those who were in need and you met those needs, you were doing that for me. And then the king will turn to those on his left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Well, that's the words of Jesus from Matthew's gospel. Now, again, I'm wanting us to focus on I'm not wanting us to focus on the negative part of the story. The story of, the people who refused to help those in need, and by doing so, we're refusing to help Jesus, refusing to help our Lord and King. I'm wanting us to focus on those things that we have to be thankful for. And so, in my head, as I've been thinking about it through that lens, you know, I'm thankful for the care that God provides for us as a shepherd caring for his sheep, the ways that he bandages the injured and strengthens the weak, the way he finds us when we're lost and brings us home, that daily care that he provides. And when I think about this story, I think, wow, and I am thankful that God gives us the opportunity to do good to him. You know, I think it was last week when we were just talking about all the amazing things that God has done for us and the amazing things that Jesus has done for us. And I think it was in one of my prayers. You guys know I don't like prepare my prayers in advance. You've noticed that over the years, I'm sure. That I'm pretty much just talking to God in those moments and leading us as we talk to God together. For the 99% of the time, I'm not praying some prayer that's been prepared in advance or anything. And I think it was last week in one of those prayers, as we were just talking with God, and I found myself saying something like, "God, just, you've done so much for us, there's just nothing we can do back. I mean, we just give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you ourselves, but there's, what can we do for you?" And here's the answer. God gives us the ability, for all he's done for us, he gives us the opportunity to give back to him, to show him our gratitude, to care for him in return. Like, "You've done so much for me. God, you have cared for me in my time of need. Boy, if I just had the opportunity to return the favor, I would love to be able to do that." And here's Jesus telling us, "Well, yeah, you'd like to return the favor? Here's how you can do it. You can return the favor. You can do good for me. You can care for me by caring for those in need, by going to those who are hungry and making sure they're fed, by going to the thirsty and giving them a drink, by going to those who are strangers who have no home and giving them a place to be, by going to those who have no shelter, who are naked and giving them clothing, going to the sick and caring for them, going to those in prison, visiting them." He says, "When you do this for me. I receive these things as gifts to me. When you care for my family, for these brothers and sisters of mine who are in need, I receive that as being done for me. Thank you." It's like he gives us a chance to do for him so that he thanks us for having helped him. I don't know about you, but I think that's really, really cool. Because I would love to be able to, to be able to return the favor to God. Like, "You've done so much for me. What can I do for you?" "Oh, I can provide you hospitality. I can meet your need by meeting the needs of the people right in front of me." Well, then, yeah, I'll do that. Thank you. Now, of course, it's hidden. We don't see Jesus right there. If you've ever helped someone in need, they usually don't look a lot like Jesus. They look like whoever they are. And there's somebody who's sick and coughing on you, or there's someone who is homeless and needs a place to stay, or there's someone who's in prison and you're a little nervous going in to visit them, or there's someone who's shut in and you don't know, it feels awkward to try to contact them. You know, all these different ways that we help people, they don't look like Jesus. You don't see that. That's why both the righteous and the unrighteous on that day are saying, Lord, really? Where were you? I didn't see you there. I mean, if I'd seen you in need, I would have, of course, helped you, but I don't remember seeing you. We need God to help us. I mean, that's what he's doing here, is he's kind of opening our eyes, pulling back the curtain, and letting us know, hey, yeah, I'm there. You're doing that for me when you care for that man, when you care for that woman. You're doing that for me. When you care for that child, you're giving me a gift. You're caring for me. Well, thank God that he pulls back that curtain. Thank God that he lets us know that that opportunity is there. And thank God for the ways that he invites us to care for him, to return the favor, to do good to him by doing good to others. Now, of course, none of us want to be the negative examples in either Ezekiel's story or Jesus' story. None of us want to be the fat and powerful sheep who shoves the needy to the side and just hogs everything for ourselves. Like, no, I need all this. You know, I don't have any extra to share with you. None of us want to be that person. None of us, of course, want to be the goats on the left, you know, where Jesus says to us, sorry, get out of here. You know, you don't get to spend eternity with me. You don't get to enjoy life with me because you ignored me when you had the chance to help. None of us want to be that. You know, we all want to be the people that do what is right. We all want to be the people who share with those in need. We all want to be the ones who care for Jesus, even though he's hidden inside a person in need. So maybe we can just thank God for the opportunity to do that. Maybe as we start each day, we can say, God, please show me an opportunity to love someone, you know, for you today, to love you in the disguise of a person in need. Would you open my eyes today, God, to see that opportunity? Would you open my eyes to see the way that I could get involved to help someone? Because left to our own devices, we just see people. We don't see Jesus there. Left to our own devices, we get busy. We got things to do, and we got people coming over, and got to get the house ready, and we got, you know, places to go, and, you know, got to catch a plane to D.C., and, you know, we got things we've got to do, and we get busy, and we get our eyes focused on us. So maybe we can just pray. As we're thanking God for all of his many blessings and all the ways he's blessed us, maybe we can just pray, God, and would you help me to see some way today that I can return the favor? Would you help me? Would you open my eyes today to see you in someone so that I can love you by loving them? That's what I'm going to try to do. And I thank God for the opportunity to do that, to love him back, you know, for all the love that he's given to me, all the care that he's provided for me. And I get to care for him by caring for others. There's one last scripture there in our notes. It's from the Apostle Paul's letters, and it doesn't have anything to do with sheep. So I was like, well, why on earth did they put that one in here? But then I remembered, oh, it's Christ the King Sunday, too. It's not just all these verses about sheep. And so here's what the Apostle Paul says to these early Christians in the city of Ephesus. It says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I got to say, when I read that part, I thought, I was thinking about seeing Jesus in disguise and seeing those opportunities each day and saying, yeah, I want to have insight. I want to grow in my knowledge of God and how God is present there in that person in need so that I can help. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or president or anybody else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. We're all under the authority of Christ. All things are under the authority of Christ. He is the King. And we have the opportunity to serve this King and to do good to this King by loving folks in need right in front of us each and every day. This King is also a good shepherd who provides for us, who cares for us, who bandages our wounds, who strengthens us when we're weak, who gives us wisdom and insight to see the ways that we can love the people around us, so that then they can be giving thanks to God for the ways God has loved them and the way God has blessed them through us. It's a beautiful thing, the way this all works together. It really is. All right, that's kind of the end of that message. I did have one other thought that I wanted to share with you that I didn't have any way to really connect it to that. That was kind of the message I'd prepared for today, and then I had this other thought that came in that I didn't know how to connect it. So I'm just going to share it separately. That's the importance of celebration. I think it's in my head because we were just at a wedding last night. I got to perform a wedding for some friends of ours that got married, and so we had the rehearsal Friday night and the wedding last night and all the party that goes on with that, and just getting to celebrate with them, you know, the commitment that they made to each other and the way they're going to love each other for the rest of their lives. That's a great young couple, and I have every confidence that they they definitely understand the permanence of the commitment they're making. They got tattoos and stuff to show their, anyway. Great couple. But I was thinking about celebration and the reasons that we celebrate. You know, there's all kinds of reasons we celebrate all the time, right? And here we are coming onto this week where we're going to have Thanksgiving celebrations, and we're right on the edge of having Christmas and Christmas celebrations. And I was thinking about all the different things that we celebrate. You know, we celebrate the good things that God has done for us. We celebrate birthdays, right? And we're asking you to send some birthday cards to someone who can't get out. And we celebrate birthdays and we get together. We celebrate, what else do we celebrate? Any other celebrations you think? What are some of the things that we celebrate? Graduations, we celebrate graduations, yeah, from high school and college. What?
Baby, new births.
New births, yeah, we celebrate the birth of new babies. Maybe not the same, you know, all these have different kinds of celebrations, different kinds of parties and things that happen. Some of these get celebrated in the church, you know, like a new baby with a dedication or baptism of an infant. Some of them don't really get celebrated in church much. What are some of the other things that we celebrate in life? Anniversaries, we celebrate anniversaries, yeah, looking back at those weddings. Other things? Retirement. Looking forward to that already. Okay. Other things that we celebrate? Oh, yeah, like Independence Day and, like, yeah, national holidays. We celebrate things like that. Yeah, definitely. Anything else that comes to mind, things that we celebrate that? Yeah, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, all kinds of things that we celebrate. And I was just thinking about the importance of that. It's right along with the same importance of giving thanks to God, of not being people who forget God's many blessings. You know, it's good to celebrate those things. It's good to have those moments where we just, I thought somebody was going to say celebrate, you know, like our sports teams winning or something like that. But I guess there aren't many reasons for people here to celebrate those kinds of things these days. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens today. I knew I'd get a reaction from Stacy from that one. It's good for us to celebrate. It's good for us to be joyful. It's good for us to give thanks to God for the ways that he's blessed us in all those different ways. And I don't want us to forget that. I don't want us to just move right past holidays. I don't want us to move right past opportunities to celebrate and to give God thanks. And I was reminded that, you know, some of these celebrations happen, you know, annually. You know, some of them are more like once-in-a-lifetime kind of things, birth of a child, getting married, graduations, those. Some of them happen all the time, you know, annually. Some of them happen, you know, more frequently than others. And I was thinking, we have a celebration each and every week. I mean, it's when we come together as a church to worship God, hopefully it's not just, I put in my time and I listen to Rich stand up there and talk for half an hour and then we go home, you know, and I kind of do my religious duty. Hopefully when we come to worship, we are, in fact, celebrating. Now, again, it's going to look different than the celebration they had for their wedding last night where they had the DJ and they sang and danced for, you know, 4 hours or whatever it was. We had to leave. You know, every celebration looks a little bit different. On Sunday mornings here, I think of the ways that we celebrate God's goodness by, we do sing. Not many of you dance, but we do sing, you know, to God and give him thanks for his blessings. We gather together at the end of each and every service and we celebrate communion. We take bread and juice and remember the way that Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate God rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt. And as Jesus is gathered with his disciples, they're celebrating that meal, remembering what God had done for them. He kind of reimagines it, and he says, like, I'm the Passover lamb. You know, he basically owns that and says, yeah, that was pointing ahead to me, and now God is doing something not just for our nation, but for the whole world. You know, and this bread is my body broken for you. This this cup, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. God's making a brand new covenant, a brand new agreement with humanity through me. And he celebrates this moment with his disciples. And we come together and we celebrate. The way we celebrate here, we take bread and we dip it into juice and we eat it. And we celebrate. We remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the great love he's shown. And in many traditions, they call this the Eucharist, which comes from a Greek word, eucharisteo, that just means to give thanks. It's the great thanksgiving. It's where we as a people say, thank you, God, for loving us, for giving us the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that today I get to share in that grace. Thank you that today I get to be one of your kids, to receive forgiveness for my sins. I get to receive strength from you. Thank you that today you're binding up my wounds. You are strengthening the weak. Thank you that today you are caring for us as your people, as your flock. It is a celebration. It's a giving thanks to God every week. And so while I know it's different than a birthday party or an anniversary party or all the different parties, a wedding, reception, it is a celebration. It is a celebration of God's love for us. And so we're going to celebrate that today and every other Sunday until Christ shows up on the scene and we start a new, all new kind of party with him. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the love that you've shown for us, shown to us in Jesus Christ. Thanks. Just thank you. You've been so good. You've forgiven our sins. You've brought us home. You've washed us and made us clean. You've given us reason, purpose for life. You've been our good shepherd. You went and found us when we had strayed away or when others had pushed us aside. God, you came looking. And you found us. Thank you, God. Now you give us opportunities to show our appreciation and to return the favor by loving you through people in need all around us. Helping with homeless shelters and food pantries and just individuals that we see each and every day reaching out in love. Thank you, God. Thank you. That too is a blessing that you would invite us to love you in those ways. Thank you, God, for the celebration that we have this coming week with Thanksgiving, where so many of us will take a break from our regular routines and gather and eat too much food and just be thankful to you for the ways you've provided for us. Thank you, God, that each and every Sunday we have this other Thanksgiving where we give you thanks for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. We offer you this bread and this juice and pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Thank you, God. Thank you. We lift our hearts to you. We give you thanks and praise for the love you have shown us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come and lead us in one last song of thanksgiving. And we're going to celebrate communion together. Just like every Sunday, I'll be up here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and return to your seats. This invitation is open to everybody. If you're saying today, thank you, God, for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you've ever been through a membership class. It doesn't matter if you've ever done this before. If today you're saying yes to Jesus, if today you're looking to him for grace, for forgiveness, for strength, for wisdom, for life, then you get to participate. I know last week in the 10:30 service, I had someone say, oh, no, like I was asking if somebody didn't participate, and I was like, their wife came up, and I was like, do I need to take it to him or anything? She's like, no, we can't. I found out afterwards it's because of a gluten allergy, and they didn't realize that we've got in the basket of bread, there's some little gluten-free wafers. So if that's an issue for you, You can grab one of the little round gluten-free wafers, and you can participate right along with the rest of your church family. So let's give God thanks, and let's celebrate the love he's shown us in Jesus Christ. I still remember the first time I heard that song was in New York City. I was in high school, and our church youth group had gone to do some work. And our youth pastor had reminded us, whether it was on that trip or one of the trips, of these same verses from Matthew 25 as we were raking somebody's leaves, I think it was. And he was saying, now whose yard are we raking? So it's Jesus's yard. You know, we were just remembering that we were, you know, doing this for Jesus. And but on this New York trip, we were at a homeless shelter, a mission, and there were all these homeless men sitting up front. It was an old style chapel, and all those teens were kind of in the back, and up front were all these guys that were about to get a meal and about to get a place to stay for the night. And someone was up front banging away on a piano, and they were singing this song. And to hear those these men's voices singing this song, echoing in this, you know, old neat old chapel, saying, you know, and now, you know, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. They're so aware of the ways that God had blessed them. Give thanks. Give thanks. God, thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us and the opportunities that you give us to share those blessings with those around us. Help us to truly celebrate this week, to really give you thanks. Open our eyes, God. Give us insight. Give us wisdom to see the opportunities right in front of us all the time, to love you by loving those around us. We give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.